Welcome to the Chad Whittle Podcast. On each episode of the show, Chad is joined by academics, media professionals, and thought leaders to discuss their careers, the latest media developments, how technology is impacting our lives, and so much more. And now, here's Chad.
Welcome, everyone, to the podcast. It's great to have you here. My guest today is Albin Brook. He's the head of marketing at Buzzsprout, a podcasting hosting company. And if you know anything about podcasting, if you produce a podcast yourself, you've heard of the company Buzzsprout. They are one of the best in the biz. And Albin, it's great to have you on the podcast.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me, Chad.
So tell me a little bit about your background. We haven't had a chance to speak before today, and not in person, not on the phone. I follow you on Twitter. I listen to your podcast. You really have a lot of knowledge about podcasting, working at Buzzsprout. So you're a really great guy to talk to about where it is now, where it is moving. But how did you get into podcasting? What made you interested in becoming a podcaster?
Well, I think probably, you know, almost everybody in the industry, it was kind of this circuitous route. In college, I remember I started listening to podcasts probably about maybe 2006. And, back then it was mostly just radio stations that were syndicating, those radio shows on iTunes. You know, they're putting them out through the iTunes directory. And so I remember downloading some of them and putting them on, some little MP3 device and listening. And I actually, after college, went to teach school in Haiti for a while. So I was in rural Haiti with, almost no electricity, very rarely internet. But the one thing I could do, was every once in a while I would connect to, I'd find that we had one little internet cafe. And so I'd go there every once in a while and I'd download a bunch of podcast episodes and I would, listen to them for the next few weeks. And there was definitely this time where I started realizing, kind of how much those episodes helped me feel connected back to the States, especially, just being somewhere where I didn't really talk to friends or family, but rarely, I still felt a lot of connection to what was happening back in the States. So this was 2008. Then I came back and started working for a law firm, eventually went to law school at University of Georgia, practiced law for a year and a half. And the whole time, continued listening to podcasts. Then I have this, time where I knew I did not want to be an attorney long term. There was a lot about the lifestyle that was not super appealing. And I definitely knew I wanted to be in the technology sector. And kind of in happenstance, my roommate at the time was a programmer at a relatively tiny podcasting company, and that was Buzzsprout. And I would come home from work and say, man, if you ever got me an interview there, I would take almost anything. And 2014, quit my job as an attorney to take an entry-level job at Buzzsprout. So it's now been 6.5 years that I've been here, and it's been really great to kind of grow up as the industry has matured quite a bit.
Well, no doubt podcasting's a lot more fun than practicing the law.
I was practicing.
Well, definitely the podcast industry has changed since you started. It continues to change. It seems like every few months, the industry changes. I teach a class at Georgia College here in Milledgeville on podcasting, and the textbook I use, I really love this textbook. It's open source. It's online. And so the author can update the textbook with new information, which is great. And every semester I teach this course, the textbook's been updated with the latest data, with the latest statistics, the newest big stories, the newest trends. It is a constantly changing and evolving industry.
Yeah, it really is. 2014, when I started, was right when Serial was launched. And for a lot of people, Serial podcast was kind of their first experience to podcasting. And it really helped it break, the industry to break through for a lot of people. That was back when Apple decided that the podcast app should be a default app on iPhone. So a lot of people start seeing this purple app for the first time. And since then, we've had, you know, tons of big moments, like when Spotify decided to join the podcasting space, when Google and Amazon launched their initiatives. It really has been a rapidly changing environment for sure.
And what's really surprised me over the years is Apple, in a way, they did not create podcasting, but they really, really helped to make it mainstream with the Apple Podcast app on everyone's iPhone. But other than that, they haven't really seemed to really have invested a lot in podcasting. They are now with subscriptions and channels you can subscribe to. Finally, now in 2021, it seems like they're really trying to make some money off of podcasting. But looking back, they could dominate it. They could have dominated podcasting more than they already do now. They obviously have a large market share with the Apple Podcast app. But why do you believe, in your opinion, why hasn't Apple been more involved in podcasting?
Well, back when I started in the podcasting space, 2014, worldwide, we didn't have 100,000 podcasts yet. We were somewhere in the range of probably 60, 70,000. So I remember the moment we passed 100,000. Right now, podcasting has passed over 2 million podcasts. So it's still relatively tiny if you compare that to the number of blogs, the number of YouTube channels. There's just a lot more content in these other mediums than there is in podcasting. And because of that, there actually are, you know, it's quite a bit smaller group of people that actively listen to podcasts. And so my true opinion is it was kind of a passion project for Apple. You know, they were too busy selling, you know, trillions of dollars of iPhones to worry too much about a fledgling industry. But Apple has always been kind of this benevolent dictator, or at least the patron of the podcasting space. That's probably the better word. They, for a long time, would approve every single podcast feed. So you'd submit a feed to iTunes, and they would actually listen to it and make sure if it was explicit content, you were labeling it correctly, that it wasn't copyrighted music, and they would actually do a human review. And the thing they did, which I think was critical to podcasting being this open ecosystem, was they allowed anybody to access that database. They made a publicly available API so that you could, you know, say, hey, tell me all the podcasts that are out there in the world and give me information about them. And Apple completely for free would let any developer do that. And so that really was what allowed, you know, lots of independent podcast apps to get started for everybody to kind of explore what different listening experiences would be. So that's my thinking of why Apple kind of stayed out of it for a long time. I think recently they've shown how they are really good at monetizing things like the App Store and subscriptions, and how if you have a subscription on an iPhone, it's actually people stick with it a lot longer than if that subscription is run outside of, you know, the App Store. And I think that, you know, this is their opportunity with Apple Podcast subscriptions to actually kind of step into the podcasting space, help creators make some money, and help make Apple some money in the process.
Well, Spotify gave the world's largest, one of the world's largest independent podcasters, Joe Rogan, 100 million reasons why to join them. And they haven't stopped. They're buying more shows that are popular and making them exclusive to the Spotify app. Looking forward, is Spotify going to become the go-to place for podcast listening?
Well, if Spotify has their way, of course, yes. The way that all the purchases they've made in the podcasting space, you know, the Joe Rogan one is is pretty well known, but they started with, I think one of their first exclusives was a podcast, the Joe Budden podcast, and they continue to sign many more exclusive deals, and they also have purchased many pretty well-known and established podcasting companies. And it's all in service to, the only way this all makes sense, the valuations that they put on some of these companies and these podcasters, is if they believe they have a solid chance of winning the industry. Right, 20 years ago, we never thought there would be something like a YouTube, a single place to go to watch video online. And now we all realize how valuable that is. And there is a lot of attraction to, could somebody be the single platform for audio online? And that's what Spotify really wants to do, whether that audio be music or that audio to be maybe something live, like with, kind of the Clubhouse competitors that they've launched, and podcasts, produced quality audio content. And so I do believe that's their goal, is to continue to get more and more people reasons to use Spotify to listen, to use Spotify as the preferred destination for their podcasts, so that they can actually consolidate the industry, in one location.
Obviously, these big podcasting deals that Spotify is signing with Joe Rogan and other well-known podcasters, it's a great deal for those that have a large following like Joe Rogan. But for more independent podcasters, obviously they're not going to receive a $100 million offer from Spotify. Will Spotify, maybe they become the go-to place for these big name podcasters like Rogan and all these independent podcasters? I don't really know what Spotify right now was really offering them to make, say, my show exclusive on Spotify. There's not really anything for independent podcasters. Now, if they would like to offer me a multi-million dollar contract, I'll go delete my podcast from other platforms immediately right now. But for the independent podcasters of the world, Spotify doesn't really offer you much right now to make your podcast exclusive on there like you would a video on YouTube, having it just on one platform.
Right. So the way it works is, if you get somebody like Joe Rogan, now there's 10 million podcast listeners who instantly lost access to their favorite podcast in whatever app they were using. Spotify was a relatively small player when they started podcasting. And as they've started to sign more of these exclusive deals, what they're doing is they are shifting existing listener behavior. So people who are already listening, if you want to continue listening to Joe Rogan, well, you can't watch on YouTube anymore. You can't listen in Apple Podcasts or in an indie app. You need to jump over to Spotify. And so they just collected this large group of people who were going to follow Joe Rogan anywhere he went, and they were able to get them to listen on Spotify. And so the whole goal of all these, these exclusive deals is to bring everybody to listen on Spotify and try to make that the preferred listening app. And then what they offer to the independent creator is the audience. And they say, hey, you may have a much smaller show than Joe Rogan, but if you want to grow bigger, well, make sure you point your podcast to Spotify. Make sure you get into Spotify and make sure that you are recommending us as the preferred destination for people to listen. Try to get more interaction there. And the selling point is that because Spotify has so many people subscribe to listen to music or using Spotify to listen to Joe Rogan or any of their other exclusives, well, now you're actually pretty tempted to start recommending, hey, everybody listen to me on Spotify, because that might potentially help boost your numbers. So, we've tracked this over the last few years, and 2016 is when Spotify really started leaning into the podcasting space. So only 5 years ago. And now they are, according to our numbers, neck and neck with Apple Podcasts as the largest podcast listening app. And that's just a lot of people that have switched their behavior in a relatively short time in a pretty young industry. And that is their goal, though, their ultimate goal, to bring everybody in so that they can kind of consolidate and own the podcasting industry.
And now Apple and Spotify, they're offering podcasters the option of subscriptions. So now that you're able to have people subscribe to your podcast on Apple and Spotify, which is a great thing if you are an independent podcaster, maybe you don't have those big name advertisers. Do you see in the future more podcasts maybe going behind a paywall on Spotify or Apple? Or will it remain more of an open ecosystem?
What's happening is we're getting quite a few of the the big players in the tech space are starting to pay attention to podcasting. Spotify was the first to really make the move and say, we want to own this space. Google kind of did a little bit of a covering move and said, hey, we'll just make sure we've got some Google podcast stuff happening. Apple has launched, like you said, the subscriptions. And now we know Facebook in the next few days will be launching their podcasting products. And it is going to be an effort by everybody to see how much of the pie they can own. But ultimately, that's going to mean that this open ecosystem, it's going to be harder for somebody to consolidate it the more of the tech giants that there are. You know, if you look at text on the web, you know, there's a lot of text in Facebook and Twitter, but there's also a lot of text on, you know, millions of websites, because there's this open protocol that was built, and that's how a lot of text is served, and no one has ever truly owned it and, you know, kind of controlled that area. But we have seen, real complete control in the video space with YouTube, and we've seen consolidation in the music space with Spotify or Apple Podcasts. But as we have more and more entrants into this podcasting space, I personally get more confident that the open ecosystem will still play a large role. Now, to your question about will podcasters go exclusive, it just depends on the podcaster's reach, how dedicated their individual listening audience is, and what their goals are. So, you know, kind of going back to Joe Rogan, he did get, you know, somewhere between $100 and $200 million for his podcast. But what he lost was the ability to continue growing. Like, he'd been growing an incredible rate on YouTube for a long time. His podcast was getting more and more downloads. And he's definitely much less culturally relevant now than he may have been right before his podcast went exclusive. And it makes it a little bit more difficult, I'm sure, to breakthrough and get some larger guests. He probably could be getting larger guests if he was back on YouTube and more people could listen. So you're trading a little bit of, reach for the monetary side. So for some podcasts, that makes perfect sense. For others, it doesn't. And then you have kind of this bind for smaller podcasts. Well, you're not going to be able to go exclusive or sell premium content if your podcast is still really small, because you have to hit some critical threshold to have enough people who are listening to the podcast that you actually could build revenue off your listener base.
And I wonder, his audience, new listeners, I wonder how much harder it is for new listeners to find him because it's on Spotify, because like you said, not as trending as much on Twitter, not mainstream like he was once before. So I wonder if, well, obviously his core audience is mostly those that have already been listening to him, but trying to grow the audience, that's maybe more of a challenge having it on one app versus having it on Apple and all these other apps.
Right. And the big one there was YouTube. Joe Rogan, you know, kind of pioneered the way of growing a podcast through YouTube, where he filmed all these interviews, mostly with celebrities and well-known guests. He filmed them, and then he put the entire video on YouTube. First he would live stream them, and then he would save those live streams on his YouTube channel. And then he actually had his team would go back, listen to the episode, and cut it up into short clips that he'd upload to a different channel. And the clips, what was happening is, you know, maybe he had Jamie Foxx on and you go, oh, here's Jamie Foxx talking about X. Well, that clip may go viral. And now all of a sudden, a lot of people are watching it. You know, 5 million people watch this clip. And then they go, I'd love to watch the full episode. And now they can click over to the full episode. And if they really enjoy that, they listen for a couple hours. Well, now they might subscribe to the podcast feed. And so what Joe was doing was leveraging the YouTube algorithm and all of the people who are on YouTube to find new listeners. The algorithm was actively seeking people out who might enjoy one of these clips. And that kind of led people down this path to becoming a loyal Joe Rogan listener. So he lost the ability to do that through YouTube. And I haven't seen Spotify promote Joe in the same way. I know it's in their interest for people to listen to Joe Rogan as long as he's on their platform, but they don't seem to promote it as hard as YouTube seemed to in the past. So my guess would be, you know, if Joe does not renew with Spotify at some point, that he, you know, will go back to the way that he was doing it before, just to be able to, you know, ramp up those listener numbers again.
Yeah, I hope he still has his RSS feed available on Apple Podcast. Starting over from scratch, that would be really difficult.
Yeah, I do not know. I know he used to be with Libsyn. I hope that they've kept that live. I'm sure that, you know, the people over there are really smart, so I'm sure that they advised him to make sure he kept that live so that he could come back in a couple of years when his licensing deal was over.
So tell me about Buzzsprout. What are some of your duties as the head of marketing?
Well, my goal as the head of marketing is to make as many of our podcasters, even podcasters that don't use Buzzsprout, successful. You know, this is a growing industry. It's not a shrinking industry. If you're in a shrinking industry, you use different tactics where you're doing your very best to steal customers from your competitors. But when something's growing, the goal is to be helpful and to empower as many creators as possible. And we're rapidly growing industry, especially that's very technical. We've done as much as we can to educate. So we put out multiple YouTube videos a week, teaching podcasting concepts, walking people through any issues they have in podcasting. We worked really hard to invest in our support team with an entire team that's all US based, but also really smart and understands the podcasting ecosystem so that they can answer on average within 15 minutes to any questions that our customers have. We write weekly blog posts and weekly emails, newsletters, where our entire goal is just education. And we try to do all of it in a way that, if you're with a competitor or you're with Buzzsprout, it's going to work either way, because we really think that this industry is big enough for not just one person, but for many companies to succeed. And you know, we'd love to be part of this open and thriving ecosystem.
Well, Buzzsprout's a great company. And no, they did not pay me to say that. if you would like to pay, I can give you my bank account number. But seriously, great company. You're doing great stuff over at Buzzsprout. And I'm actually discussing, debating, starting a new podcast if I have the time to do it. That's one thing that a lot of people getting into podcasting, I don't know they understand, is that podcasting is fun, but it's also, it can be time consuming. If you're producing episodes once a week or even a couple times a month, it can be kind of time consuming to do. So if I can find time in my schedule, I'm going to do it. I'm probably going to use Buzzsprout, actually. I like what you're doing over there. And I like, too, that you have a marketing team. You have people here in America that's 15, you said 15 minutes, they can talk with you. So that's great. And that's really a big benefit to podcasters that are new, is that they're able to contact someone and you can talk to them Because a lot of people getting started, they don't know where to begin. They know you go to Buzzsprout, you open up an account, and the technical stuff, they're not as sure about. So the fact that you can offer them help and kind of get them started, that's really a big benefit to new podcasters.
Yeah, we actually started Buzzsprout because we had a small website builder, and we started getting a lot of outreach from our customers saying, hey, we have these audio files we'd like to have on our website. And these were, a lot of them are NGOs or nonprofits or churches, and they were not really technical. And when we researched it, we went, you know, it really sounds like what you want to be building is a podcast. And when we started working with a lot of our clients and actually trying to teach them how to use some of the tools that were available back in 2008, a lot of them just gave up. And if it was a nonprofit where maybe a young, smart volunteer came and gave you 50 hours of work and helped set up the podcast before they went to college, that was great. But the minute that they left, the company, you know, lost touch, and they went, oh, we really don't know how to keep this podcast going. So it was the, you know, kind of the pushing force that got us to start Buzzsprout was we knew we wanted to help these nonprofits, churches, and NGOs get their podcasts online. And that was really where we started podcasting, because it can be time consuming and it can be confusing if you don't have a partner, you know, working alongside you. So that's why we started Buzzsprout. It's why we built it the way we have. And then it's informed a lot of our marketing, the way we've staffed our support team. Pretty much the entire experience with Buzzsprout is focused on, you shouldn't have to be some sort of technical guru to start a podcast.
Albin, it's great to have you on today. And Buzzsprout.com, go there, check them out, start a podcast with them, or you can always move your podcast over to Buzzsprout as well. Great talking with you today.
Yeah, thank you so much. I appreciate being on the podcast.
Subscribe to the Chad Whittle Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and wherever you listen to podcasts. For a complete list of where to subscribe, visit chadwhittle.com. And while you're there, subscribe to Chad's Substack newsletter so you can stay up to date on future guests and to have his weekly articles delivered straight to your inbox. If you enjoy this podcast, please tell a friend. You can follow Chad on Twitter at CWhittleMedia and Facebook.com/CWhittleMedia. You can also connect with him on LinkedIn. Thanks for listening to the Chad Whittle Podcast.